Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Beer Nuts number 29. My name is Chris. For MichiganBeerGuide.com, we have JR.
In the house.
And Dugout.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, this show, we are raiding the cellar, aren't we, JR?
Yeah, man. I got a lot of stuff in my cellar, and I needed to clear some stuff out. So I was happy to dig deep. Fortunately, I was able to come to Doug's house, and so we're together, so we can take some of these gems together. I'm looking forward to this. It's been a good show. We wish Uncle Pete could join us, so we're going to have a few beers for him. And he'll be back with us soon enough. So everybody crack open a cold one. Let's get down to business. We're just a bunch of regular guys enjoying some good beers. You're not pretentious. No matter what level of beer geek you are, join us for a beer and kick back and enjoy the ride.
So we got a beer quote this week, don't we?
I got a good one this week. Who needs friends when you can sit alone in your room and drink? It's an anonymous quote. But it's a good one.
No one wants to take credit for that.
Who needs Come on, JR, take credit for that. Who needs friends when you can sit in your room and drink?
I'm reading it from a website, so it's not really my content.
I don't know. I've known a few people in my lifetime that have lived by that creed.
There's no one there to talk back to.
I spend a few nights in the basement every week with just me and my bottle.
Doesn't talk back, you don't get a fight, it won't break up with you.
That's right, that's what the man cave is for, serenity.
Exactly, and man cave, well, it's, some man caves are in the basement, and apparently you had a lot of beers in the basement. You guys, what are we starting off with here?
We are starting off with beer I picked up at the brewery last year, from Against the Grain Brewery in Louisville, Kentucky. It's called Mac Fanny Ball. It is a bourbon barrel aged smoked ale. It's got a nice picture of a Scotsman wearing a kilt and playing a bagpipe on the label.
So this, first off, on the color, really surprised me. It's a bright golden color. I was expecting something sort of along the lines of dark and motor oil. In color, and this is definitely the opposite of that. It's got a nice head to it.
I'm getting a lot of peat on the aroma.
Huge amount of peat.
Tastes to me like almost like an island malt whiskey. Really strong, almost like a Lagavulin.
But it doesn't have that alcohol burn. It's got a sweetness that follows, almost like a Belgian triple. The peat is overpowering. We're drinking this a little on the cold side too, and I can only think that that'll open up even more as it warms up. What an interesting beer! All right, we're not blowing smoke up your rear. That's what it says. This barrel-aged Rauch beer offers up all the complexity and flavor you could ask for without all the highfalutin, grandiloquent ideas folks have about that famous Islay liquid gold. McFanny Baugh is a sweet, smooth, smoky, and salty lion brewed with alderwood smoked salt and conditioned in barrels to add a touch of Kentucky flavor. It's sitting at 8.5%. Yeah, bourbon barrel aged smoke ale. So I'm getting the salt, that's for sure. I mean, and a lot of times I've had beers that say they're salted caramel or sea salt and dose, and you get a little bit of salt, but this has a lot of salt.
Yeah, right away reminded me of an Islay, because when the barrels sit along the sea there, you get that salt absorbs into the barrel and into the liquid.
Now, I'm curious, they're probably, because it's a Rauch beer, they're smoking the malts with peat. They're not using maybe with peat added to it, I'm guessing, because it's the strength of it.
I'm not really sure.
I mean, I wish I had a little more info on the processes here.
Let me see if I can find something out. Okay, it says on the Against the Grain website, on tap, we brew the spectrum of beers in these familiar categories. And it says, smoke them if you got them. At Against the Grain, we are smoke beer fiends. Rarely does an American brewer attempt the classic techniques to make a smoke beer, and rarely do they succeed when they try. We aim to change that. Our smoke beers can be lightly smoked or intensely smoky. Whichever it is, you can bet it's the best around. We utilize smoked grains from all parts of the world, from the classic peat smoked malts of Scotland to the clean beechwood smoked malts of Germany. The flavor profiles are endless, so if you're in the mood for some rap, get a smoke. Now let's see if I can find something on this specific beer. Here it is. Mac Fanny Ball. This is weird. It actually says, literally, son of vagina testicle. Why? It's kind of funny. Truly a groundbreaking beer, this barrel-aged route beer was an attempt to replicate the favorite present in Islay Scotch whiskey. We used Munich malt as a base and added copious amounts of beechwood and peat smoked malt, which provides the intense, smoky, and earthy peat flavors found in Scotch. Then the addition of alderwood smoked salt lends a crisp brininess that is reminiscent of the sea air in the Islay region of Scotland. Aged in used Angel's Envy bourbon barrels to give an intense caramel, vanilla, and whiskey flavor. ABV, 8.5%. IBU, 25. Original gravity, 16.7. You know, almost everything we identified is in there. The Islay malt.
Peatwood smoke. I suppose for my own personal tastes, this is over the top. It's too much. I think that there could have been subtle points put in here. I find the smoke, like even at the cold temperature, the smoke and the peat is overpowering everything. And then you get that salty finish, and you almost need like something to drink as a chaser on this guy. Yeah, definitely. You know, and I'm a pretty big fan of smoke beers and rauk beers, and I just think maybe a little less of A and B and C, and this might have been a better overall beer. I don't get any bourbon barrel in this at all, and possibly that's because of the prominence of the smoke and the salt.
Yeah, it's a tough beer for a lot of people, probably. Right away, it reminded me of Lagavulin, one of my favorite scotches, but it is a really the most peaty medicinal scotch that I used to sell. There was a group of scotch whiskeys I sold back in the day called the Classic Malts of Scotland. And the Lagavulin was always the most acquired taste, to put it nicely. It was medicinal with some people, and not everybody could handle it. But it reminds me of that, and I really like Scotch whiskey, so I am enjoying this. But I can see how it's really over-the-top, overpowering. And I would say it's definitely for the smoky, strong end of the spectrum.
What do you got over on your side there, Christopher?
Well, want to say it's a leftover from a previous episode, but it's not. I picked it up today. Part of my little variety six pack here. I have from Bell's Brewery from episode 28, a Expedition Stout. I've already been tasting it. I'm not going to lie.
I think we've got one here in the basement. I'd have to run and get it. Now I'm all the way upstairs. But the one I have, I think, is from 2013.
this one is from, this beer is about 8 months old. It could be older. We're starting big. 10.5 ABV. This is motor oil, but it's got more of a, it's a real kind of a dark reddish tint to this almost. It's a real dark mahogany. The mouthfeel, it's real thick in the mouth. You know, it's got a creamy mouthfeel. You know, you're getting the roastiness that I have come to expect from the stouts. Goes down delicious. I mean, you're getting your chocolate, you're tasting the chocolate, you're tasting the dark fruit in it. Yeah, I can see this getting better with age.
It's commonly known amongst a lot of craft beer connoisseurs that Expedition Stout is one of the well-known, gets better with age. I've got, I think, 3 different years aging in my cellar. Every year when it comes out, I buy a six-pack and just put it down there and forget about it. And it's a really, after about 3 years, is probably the peak. I recommend go out and get some of this if it's still on the shelf and stash it away because it's going to improve with age big time. And that's not to say it's not bad when it first comes out, but it'll really mellow out on you and be a treat.
No, interesting point about this particular beer. This one has been in the Bell's stable for a very, very long time, one of the original beers. Expedition Stout would come out once a year, and as Larry Bell would explain it, I throw everything in here. Everything that's laying around in the brewery, everything in the brew shop, I get as much of everything as I can to put into this beer. And I suppose times are different now than then. This would have been in the early 90s, and they're a little more precise in the way they do things, but hey, that's how that beer started out. It's always been a winner in my eyes.
Now, we're talking about cellaring. Now, is there anything special people should be doing? I mean, just, you know, pick a spot in the basement and keep them there, or any advice you have for people that are just starting to cellar?
Yeah, you want a cool, dark place in your cellar. So don't put it next to the furnace. Find the most remotest corner of your basement, preferably where no light gets in, and that's where you want to cellar. Or maybe put a cabinet down there. So definitely the enemies of beer are light and temperature. When you're cellaring, you know, optimally 50 degrees, 55 degrees. But, you know, my basement's usually around 65 year-round, and that's fine, too. Just keep it cool and out of the light.
Now, what a recommended cellaring time.
First of all, higher ABV beers are best for cellaring, and anything with hops in it, you don't want to cellar because the hops will fade. You know, basically, you'll be left with a barley wine type tasting product if you put age on a hoppy beer, which some people like to do because it's good, but it's kind of a waste of all the hops that went into that beer. But, you know, typically, you got a lot of stouts or strong dark ales like Belgians. Those are the types of beers that you want to age, and of course a beer like Expedition Stout is ideal for that. And generally 3 to 4 years is the peak, and then after that they'll maybe start declining in quality. I've had beers 10 years old that are still really good, so just depends on how the beer is constructed.
And certain beers lend themselves to cellaring. You know, we've tasted the Goose Island Bourbon County Stout. That one immediately comes to mind as something that should be cellared because it's hot, what's considered hot. When it comes out, it's got a huge alcohol burn to it and almost not quite palatable. So when you put that beer away and let it sit for a good year or so, those flavors start to blend in. That sort of hotness of the alcohol starts to blend into the rest of the beer, and it smooths out and makes a much easier, nicer drinking beer. Now, on the flip side, you can have another beer such as KBS from Founders that is pretty much ready to drink. You're not doing too many favors by cellaring it. There's not a whole lot left to, you know, cellar out of that beer. But it's individual taste, you know. I've had beers that I thought would be fantastic cellared, and I pulled them out a few, you know, about 8 months later, and they were just like, ugh, nasty.
Yeah, like with something like a KBS or a Sunday Morning Stout, which we've tasted previously on the show, they have strong coffee flavors in them, and coffee, much like hops, will fade with time. If you got a really coffee beer with a lot of coffee in it, it may stand the test of time. Stuff like Doug's example of KBS, I think it's great when it's fresh. You get a lot of nice fresh coffee in there. And when you cellar it for a year or more, that coffee dissipates. And it's got a different flavor, and it's still very good. But it's, in my opinion, it drops down a notch when that coffee fades. So as Doug Out said, it's really personal preference. And the other thing Doug Out pointed out is if you have something that comes out and it's really boozy from like bourbon barrels or a lot of booze in it, that's a good one to put in the cellar for 6 months to a year and let that booze fade out, and it'll be a little bit milder and mellower, more enjoyable with some age on.
All right, so what's up next over there, guys?
All right. Well, I grabbed this out of the cellar. This is called Modern Times Monsters Bark Imperial Stout. Special release from Modern Times Brewing in San Diego. It says a hulking, cantankerous Imperial Stout. So let's have a taste, Doug.
All right. So how long have you been sitting on this one, JR?
Not too long. This probably came to me 6 months ago. It's not one that I've had for an extended time. It's got,
I see 60 IBU.
100 SRM, which is coal black, 60 IBU, which is pretty impressive.
Moderate amount of hops, 1.022 final gravity, 12% by volume. And by the way, the label says, this beer is vegan.
Well, you definitely can't see through this beer. It is motor oil supreme.
And I've had a lot of other stouts from them, and they typically have coffee, and I don't believe this one has coffee.
I'm not tasting any coffee in it. Let me just look at this bottle here a second.
Brewery, another beer that I got from them states that they roast their own coffee beans, and you can actually buy bags of their coffee beans. But this particular beer does not have coffee, I don't believe. I don't taste any coffee in it, and it doesn't indicate on the label. It's just a solid, strong imperial stout.
Yeah, it's huge. It's at 12%. I think this one probably could sit for another year and mellow out some more. I mean, there's still quite a bit of a burn off the top of this one. But then again, it's a Russian Imperial. It should have some burn to it. Definitely roasted malt. I mean, as far as you can go on that edge of the spectrum.
It is hulking and cantankerous.
Man, it's huge. It's chewy. It's almost like there's some dark fruit in there, but then it gets covered up again by more roasted malt.
Yeah, I agree with Doug that in a year on this thing, you'd start to get more complex flavors developing. But right now, man, it's just roasted. Hardcore roasted. You can taste the booze in it. There's no bourbon. It's not bourbon barrel aged, but it's just the alcohol from fermentation in there. This is hot. It's
yeah, hot. A beer like this reminds me of kind of a winter weather, sort of like the way it is outside right now at the end of April, beginning of May, near frost conditions. I mean, this is like curl up by a fire with a blanket around you and some good tunes playing and just sip away on this bad boy.
Well, we got 22 ounces to drink up, Dugout.
Well, we're working on it, 1 ounce at a time.
Good tonight. 22 ounces of this is, boy, thank God I'm sharing it with somebody. It'd be a one and done. So let's see if I find anything else about. I'll read the label. The ingredients are 2-row malt, oat malt, roasted barley, dark chocolate malt, midnight wheat, crystal 120, and black barley. It says, Monsters Park is a hulking, cantankerous imperial stout, sporting a brownie malt bill and a dry, lingering finish. Its massive roast profile blends with an eye-popping coffee, chocolate, and toast character, which combine to provide a monumentally robust and aggressive experience. Monsters Park is named after a surreal and beautiful 16th century sculpture garden in northern Italy, featuring a bizarre medley of monsters and a variety of terrifying states. It's worth interneting. I bet you I couldn't read that after finishing this file.
You wouldn't want to read. A little bit of a point about cellaring. You know, the back of your refrigerator works fine, too. It's not everybody has a basement. I know when I lived in North Carolina, I didn't have a basement of the house. So, the refrigerator had to deal with as the cellar. And I do that with quite a few of my beers, although now I do have a proper cellar. I actually have a root cellar in the house. And there's a few things sitting in there, some mead that's aging and a couple other beers. But most of them get stuck in the fridge and they're in a little section called the forget about it zone. And every once in a while, I like to peek in there and find something that I did forget about, pull that out and enjoy it.
I want to add, I just pulled up on their website, the Monsters Park, on their Modern Times website. And it does say this is an annual release. Failing to buy this beer may lead you to spend the rest of your life regretting not getting in on the first release. Just say it. And then it says anywhere from 6 to 24 months of aging should lead to some really spectacular results.
What else do you have over there, Mr. Chris?
I was just reading, got quiet there because I was reading about this next brewery all the way from, the bottle says Norway, but it's from, I know it's from Copenhagen, but it was...
So it's Mikkeller, right?
Yes, Mikkeller.
Mikkeller's from Denmark, isn't it?
Yes, from Copenhagen. I was a guy who was a physics teacher, started brewing beer. And now I have a bottle of it in my hand. And apparently the beer that I have, Beer Geek Breakfast, is the beer that got it going for him.
You know what? That's a well-in-demand beer you have right in front of you there.
Really?
Well done, yes. It's an oatmeal stout.
Yeah, with cold-pressed coffee in it. Apparently, he was, according to this website, he's one of the first people to think of doing that. That's what his website says. You know, I'm not his webmaster.
Well, it's an oatmeal stout. It says it uses water, malt, pilsner malt, oats, smoked, caramel, Munich, brown, pale chocolate, and chocolate, roasted barley, flaked oats, Centennial and Cascade hops, ale yeast, and gourmet coffee.
Oh, wow. Uh-oh. We got a lot ahead.
Uh-oh.
Are we pouring all over the desk?
No, but we're pouring into a pint glass instead of a tulip glass. But no, I mean, there's an exceptional amount of head. Like, isn't it supposed to mean something might be wrong with this bottle of beer? Like, it's taking up almost all of the glass.
Literally. Could be infected if it's overflowing with... Yeah. But you'll be able to tell when you taste it.
Gotcha. If I can ever...
If it tastes tart or sour, and you can't really taste the coffee, then that might be a red flag.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm just getting nothing but foam every time I pour.
Well, you got to taste it and tell us if it's any good, because it's either infected or it's not.
So, only you know. In the meantime, I'd like to remind everybody that tickets for the Michigan Summer Beer Festival in Ypsilanti, Michigan, just went on sale this week. It's not too late to buy them. So, you local Michiganders, or anybody that's willing to travel in, best beer festival by far in the state.
It's in a beautiful park. It's right along the Huron River. If you're a beer lover, you'll leave wanting for nothing at that festival. It's very well run. There's just more beer than you could ever even imagine to try in one or two days. And it's always a great time.
And drink lots of water, stay hydrated, eat some food, because it's a long day out there.
Yeah, bad things happen when you don't do that. JR.
A couple years ago, Dugout was kind enough. His posse gave me a ride, and I got dropped off
about four miles from my house.
I walked two miles to my favorite
craft beer bar, and then I called my wife to get me from there. So now I stay hydrated.
I learned my lesson the hard way.
If you're not careful, you can find yourself staggering.
I'm not sure about this beer. I mean, I taste coffee.
If you can taste the coffee and it's not repulsive, it's probably not infected. Might just be highly carbonated.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, these beers were in the fridge, and I brought them out. Right. I mean, they set for maybe, I don't know, I brought them out at 9, and then they've been sitting here.
Did you pour them slowly and maybe at an angle in the glass, or would you just dump it right in?
I did not. I think I'm too used to the tulip glass.
Well, tell us what you're tasting, either way.
I mean, I'm getting hot. It's the thing about it, it's supposed to be a stout, and you're getting some hops on the front and then coffee in the back. It's a typical coffee stout as far as color goes, as far as the taste goes, the mouthfeel goes. As you've been talking about, maybe it'll make the edit, maybe it won't. This one's very highly carbonated.
I guess the question I would ask, are you enjoying it?
Yes.
Are you enduring it, or are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it.
If you're enjoying it, it's probably not infected. You would know if it was infected.
I like it, but just as far as...
It needs to sit for a bit and carb out.
As coffee stouts go, I've had better.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you let it settle out, and Dugout and I will open our last beer here. A beer that comes in a can called Big Rick, R-I-C-C. I used to think it was Big Rico, but ours is R-I-C-C. Russian Imperial Stout with coffee and chocolate. It's the Explorer series. And what's the brewery name? I can't even find the brewery name right here. Tall Grass Brewing Company.
Oh, Tall Grass, out of Manhattan, Kansas, correct?
There you go.
Yeah, I've had some great beers from them lately.
I got to tell you, I've had this before, and it's really, really good. So that's why I wanted to share it.
No, we got a beer in a can. And we got it on the cellar series. This beer is big enough where you could cellar it. Cans are, I don't know, it's sort of an iffy proposal on cellaring cans. I mean, I'm not sure that they're over the long haul that they actually will provide much benefit to the beer itself, as opposed to a nice thick brown bottle.
I don't know that it would be a negative for it, but I can tell you I don't have any cans in my cellar, not that I wouldn't cellar this, but typically your cellarable beers come in bottles.
Now, and the reason I bring this up is, you know, we were kicking around some ideas for some shows coming up. I was in Indiana. I was picking up some beers for a future episode we're going to do on Indiana beers, which are, you know, I think we're all kind of excited about it. Anytime you can drink Three Floyds, it's great, but... you know, there's a lot of other good stuff going on in that state. I happened to pick up a Citra Pale Ale that I had bought, well, maybe about 4 weeks beforehand. And I had opened it up, and that Citra had completely faded out of it within a month's time. So a can's not the end-all be-all as far as stuff like that goes. Not bashing cans. I love a can of beer.
I guess my question for you, Doug, would be, would that same fading have occurred in a bottle? Does it really matter what vessel it's in?
I would have thought that it would have lasted a little bit longer, because when I had it, the month, you know, within a month's time from each other, that it had fallen off that fast to be completely non-discernible in the can, as far as any hops go. It's a hard call. I mean, I was just surprised. It shocked me that it had fallen off so fast.
Well, I've had.
Anyways, I'm sidetracking. This beer is.
I'd like you to review it, Doug, out only because I've had it before and I want to get your comments.
I got a nice bit of ethanol burn in the front of it. It's dark as can be, and I don't mean that ethanol burn in a bad way. I mean, a lot of times it comes afterwards, and it comes in more of a harsh burn. This burns up front. It's just got a huge roasty nose to it. It's a beautiful smell as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely very bitter.
Yeah, it's got a great bitter bite to it. What was the ABV on this one? Was it somewhere in the 10% range?
10.5.
Okay. 10.50. All right.
It does remind me kind of 10.50.
I get pretty close on this stuff most of the times these days.
It's a beer you can chew. It's maybe not quite as thick as 10.50 from Lester Blues.
It's deceptively drinkable, though, because, you know, you've got that burn up front. It's, but the finish isn't strong like that. It's got a nice smooth finish to it that fades quickly. So you're just wanting your next sip of that big burst again.
The finish reminds me of a cold black coffee with nothing in it, like a dark roasted Colombian coffee. That nice bitter coffee roasted flavor. That's what I'm getting out of it. You got that like alcohol burn at the beginning, and then it just settles into like a really dark, roasty coffee bitterness. It's good. Wish you could taste this one, Chris. It's a cup of black coffee.
What's it called again?
It's called Big Rick, R-I-C-C.
Tallgrass
Brewing Company in Manhattan, Kansas.
Now, I'm wondering if we're in the state of Michigan getting any closer to getting some of their beers. I see them in neighboring states. I saw some in Indiana, in Illinois, and in Wisconsin. They're just giving Michigan the cold shoulder again. I guess part of it is the politics of the distributors don't bode well for a lot of people coming over here, at least initially on their products. But, man, I sure hope these beers come here. I had an IPA from those guys, I believe it was last week, and it just blew my doors off.
Yeah, one of the challenges brewers face trying to come to Michigan is the Michigan consumer is very loyal to Michigan beer. So some of the outsiders, they have a hard time justifying coming in here. They're kind of intimidated that, you know, their market research tells them that the customers are going to be biased towards buying the local beers over their brands. But there's so many sophisticated craft beer drinkers in this state, there's room for more of these guys to come in.
Yeah, it looks like you live in the middle of the country.
Well, there is.
You can get tall
grass. You know, here's another reason that holds people back, though, is that, you know, coolers are only so big. Most people coming in, or most of these craft brewers, would like to see their beer kept in conditions that are good to preserving the beer, such as cold or in a cool, dry place, at least. From what I see, 90% of the shelves of Michigan liquor stores are filled with craft beers that have never been refrigerated from the time they've gotten into the store to the time they leave the store. It's a good craft store that has a big cooler, but you don't see it real often. You see a lot of Miller and the big boys and Buds in the cooler, filling up the cooler, way more so than probably they could even sell in a day. Well, all this good stuff sits on the shelf right next to the blower fan, heated up at 100 degrees, and not doing the beer any good favors.
Yeah, there's a lot of old beer on shelves here, and that is a challenge. If you have a brewery comes in and the beer doesn't turn right away, you got an old product, you know, just like we just said, it took 30 days for that one beer in the can to fade. Most beers have
printed on the can, 6 month shelf life, and they don't always have a 6 month shelf life. So then somebody picks one up that's 4 months old, and they take it home, and they think it doesn't taste very good, and they never buy it again. So it's a catch 22.
Well, sure, and we've had this happen on the show as far back as just a couple episodes ago, where we had some beers that we had pulled off without checking the dates, finding out they were 2.5 years old. IPAs sitting on the shelf, 2.5-year-old coffee beers sitting on a shelf, never been cold, only to find out that they're bad. Those are some, one of these days we'll do an outtakes situation where all the times we've gone, oh my, bleep, 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 this is bleep, bleep, bleep.
Yeah, and in our defense, and out of fairness to the breweries, we don't air that on.
No, we take that away. And, you know, when we find a beer that's, you know, 2.5 years old, I don't know, bad on us for not checking every single date. I mean, who does that? I mean, we don't. We just pick up what we see. But I got to tell you, I find myself doing it more and more and more, especially on the big bombers, especially if they're sitting on a warm shelf, and especially if they're an IPA or a double IPA or a coffee beer, and they're in a bomber and they've been sitting on a warm shelf. I check that date. I look for that date. If it's over on an IPA, it's over 2 to 3 months, I just leave it sit there.
I have to agree with you, especially IPAs and double IPAs. I always check anything happy. The coffee, if it's strong enough, I can bring them up. Because I age some stuff with coffee, but I am finding out more and more now that coffee beers should be drank fresh. I didn't always feel that way. I used to think like 3-year-old KBS was the bomb. Now I think this year's KBS is better than 3-year-old because I want that fresh coffee. I love coffee. So, Chris, how about back to your McKellar? How are we looking over there?
Getting kind of like a little bit of caramel on the finish now, too. It's still a little hoppy in the front. I'm still filing this under. It's all right. I am enjoying, I'm liking that caramel after. I'm liking that caramel kick on the finish now. That's making this enjoyable to me. I'm not saying this is a, and I don't want any people to get me wrong, I don't think this is a bad beer. It's just, it's a little underwhelming in the coffee stout category, at least for me at this point in the game.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I have a favorite, a clear favorite. I mean, I don't know that we're going to do Brewery of the Week, and it's kind of tough when we're sitting at different locations. But, wow, that Tallgrass Big Rick, that blew my doors off. That's phenomenal. If you get to see that, I would certainly get that. I mean, a very close second is the Monsters Park. Modern Times. I think the first beer we had, the McFawny Baugh, was just way too over the top for me. I think they could have tightened that up ingredient-wise and still gotten their point across and had a much more drinkable beer and a more enjoyable experience. But that's just me.
I really enjoyed all three of these beers, and I'm going to vote for the McFawny Baugh only because it reminded me, before I read anything, you know, I tasted that and I thought of that Lagavulin Islay single malt scotch. That's a pretty tough thing to replicate, and I just really enjoyed the uniqueness of it. I completely get that 9 drinkers out of 10 probably wouldn't agree with me, but I'm the 10th guy that loves Lagavulin and loves that beer. So I give him credit for the pushing things to the limit. I vote for Against the Grain McFawny Baugh.
Well, I'm voting for Expedition Stout.
I'd probably be voting with you if I were there with you on that one. I love that beer.
Yeah, I agree, especially with any amount of age on it. If Dugout had brought that 13 up from the cellar, no doubt that would be our choice. So for the purpose of having 3 different beers here, getting votes, I think the tiebreaker is going to go to that Bell's Expedition. You agree with that, Doug?
I would agree with that. We unfortunately, Christopher, for you, we've been sipping on another beer, which I brewed this beer on Easter Sunday, and it's called the Robin's Egg Milk Stout. We've been sipping on that a little bit, but I will save you some. We will hold on to our reviews and not going to say a word about it. I'm going to get some over to you so we can review it on the show.
Oh,
good luck with that. Doug's beers don't last very long.
Yeah,
and this one won't last very long. Sure you don't want to review it, Doug?
I'm going to hold off.
I had a little taste of it.
I got to get some over to Christopher, and then we'll give it a fair review when we all have had it.
Fair enough, but you don't have a very good track record with being able to keep this around.
Sometimes it's out of my control, though. I think there's more in that keg than there is, and or it's late at night and nothing else sounds good, and I go to pull it thinking there's another glass in it, and I get three quarters of the way through the glass and out spits the keg.
Well, Dugout poured me a glass of this at the very beginning of the night. I tried like hell to save some for when we were going to review it, and I got like a thimble full left in the bottle of my glass. So now that he's told me we're not going to review it, I'm going to drain it because it's damn good.
Review to come soon.
Yes. We'll keep this on the back of our palates, you know, to be reviewed later.
Alrighty then. Well,
man, that expedition is tasty.
Oh, this Rick. Damn. I need some more of that one.
Yeah.
We've all had some really good ones tonight.
I'll be probably drinking that whole Mac Fanny Boss and stuff.
I'll probably help you with a little bit of it, but
well, so much.
Anybody get to win a beer glass?
Yeah, come on, go to
michiganbeerguy.com.
Yes.
Click on Win This Glass, and you'll get cool instructions on how to win this glass. Listen carefully when we sign off, because that has something to do with winning the glass. Any last final comments, anyone?
I just, I'd like to say I look forward to doing some more of these cellar series. I've got quite a few bottles sitting downstairs that probably should be opened up and enjoyed amongst people. And that's one of the reasons I don't open them, is because, you know, they might be a bigger bottle. It might be 12%. And typically when I'm looking at them, I've already had a couple beers, and it's the middle of the week, and the next day is a school day, and I'm definitely not going to open a beer then.
Well, exactly. Look at this 12% Modern Times Monster Spark. We're not even halfway through it, and there's two of us here. There's no way I could drink this by myself.
Well, yeah, there is, but
it'll be a stumble flunky real soon. It'll be like the Michigan Summer Beer Festival 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
3 years ago. I'm glad it's that far in the rearview mirror. It's not a good memory yet.
No. John's not JR's not a small guy, and if somehow he managed to roll up a hill.
Wow. You rolled up a hill. Hey, I've fallen upstairs now.
That's all that matters. I walked off a lot of calories that day. Probably the longest walk I've had in the last 10 years. I don't walk 2 miles very often.
But when you do, it's after a beer festival.
I needed that. I walked it off. By the time I got to my wife, I was sobering up a bit.
All right, well, I think it's about that time for Chris to do his Twitter this and win his glass and... So take it away, Chris.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by the Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you are helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including rush delivery and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
All right, that sounds good.
Mexico City. AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.